Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola. Thursdays at 8:40.
Hello, Wendy lady.
Hello, Darren.
So today, apparently, yes, you have a cautionary tale for small businesses.
Yes, it's a very sad one and a very big caution in it. And I'm very grateful to a Durban businesswoman who I'll call Sarah. She doesn't want her name or her business out there. She's a little mortified by what happened, but she's shared her story with us in a bid to warn others, because the thing is, she found no warnings online about any of the companies involved in scamming her, so she wants to change that. Of course, the company names will change, but let's do our bit. So she did admittedly miss some telltale signs in her dealings with the fraudsters, and that's been her very expensive lesson. So, scam began on May the 22nd, very recently, with an emailed invitation to the company, purportedly from the procurement department of the Drakenstein municipality, which is near Paarl in the Cape. Mm-hmm. Good day, it began. The municipality would like to extend an invitation to your company to supply the attached products. Some of the products that we may request may fall out of your scope of work. Therefore, without an E, we would like you to outsource for the products and supply the municipality, as we are urgently looking for a reliable supplier to supply us. Okay, whenever there's dodgy spelling or grammar, that should be your very first red flag. Okay, so the product that they wanted was a certain insulated suit with some fancy code, a black and yellow number, protection wear, that the municipality, in inverted commas, wanted. And they wanted 150 of them, right? Mm-hmm. So Sarah and her colleagues immediately started sourcing the suit, and they found only one supplier, funny that, by the name of Carlton Traders, based in Durban.
Don't tell me that was a fake company and the only supplier of that insulated suit.
Yes, exactly. So the suit, I think, is probably also just a made-up thing. Mm. Everything about this scam was fake.
Sure.
But Sarah didn't know that at the time. So Carlton Traders then sent her a quote for 150 of those suits and confirmed that they did have stock and they could supply and within the required time frame. So Sarah completed the tender document, submitted it to this supposed Drakenstein municipality on the 30th of May. For some reason, there was a three-week delay, almost 3 weeks. And then on June the 18th, just after the public holiday last week, the company received an acceptance letter from Mandisa Sabeko, appointing their company to supply and deliver the suits by June 21, which was last Friday.
Does that person even exist?
Actually, yes. There is a woman called Mandisa Sabeko, and she does work for that municipality, and I think she even might work in procurement. But the person who emailed Sarah, of course, was not her. He or she had just assumed her identity. And when I Googled her, I found a different phone number under her contact details from the phone number that the fraudster had inserted in the email to Sarah's company. Okay. So there's your first tip. Always check out the phone numbers. Everything might look legit, the letterhead, everything else. Independently Google the municipality or the company, whoever it is, and check the phone numbers. So anyway, in good faith, Sarah ordered those suits and paid Carlton Traders, listen for it, 136,275 rand. She did that transfer on June the 19th, because of course they said they wouldn't deliver those suits without full payment up front. Mm. And so there went her 136,000 rand into the fraudster's bank account. And as you can imagine, there was no delivery of 150 suits. There were no suits to start with. Mm. And then came a stream of excuses and then the awful, awful realization for the company that they had been scammed. And I'll give you the details about how that happened in just a little bit.
It happens so quickly, hey? All
right. So quickly, and you just,
it
it's done, there's
all
no
legit,
coming back.
All above board until you get that sinking feeling.
And I so just excited for the order.
Yeah. All right. So, more on this horrific story. A cautionary tale for all businesses out there when we come back with Wendy Nola and Consumer Watch.
Consumer Watch with Wendy Nola. Thursdays at 8:40.
Wendy lady.
Yes, Darren.
See if I got this right. A Durban company thought that they'd scored a lucrative government tender to supply 150 protective suits in bunny ears. Supplied a supplier, paid a supplier 136,000 rand for them. And then when delivery didn't happen, they realized, whoopsie daisy, I've fallen for a scam.
That is unfortunately the nub of it. So delivery was scheduled for before 9 o'clock last Friday, the 21st. Of course, that never happened because neither the company nor the suits actually existed in the real world. The company that we're not naming because they're pretty humiliated by this and licking their wounds. The company got a call from saying that the supplier's truck was still in Newcastle, so the order would only arrive after 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock, there was another call saying the truck had broken down outside Maritzburg, and that was when Sarah, the company owner, began to fear the worst. They were then promised the order would be delivered to her home at 2 o'clock the next day, which was last Saturday. Of course, that didn't happen either. So first thing Monday morning, Sarah went into investigative mode, fearing the worst but hoping for the best. Here she is.
By Monday morning, we started making some calls to find out where the order was and started investigating VAT numbers and basically the authenticity of the whole company that we had ordered from, and realized that both the tender and the company we had ordered from were fictitious. We investigated the VAT number on the quotation and invoice of the supplier. We realized the VAT number belonged to another company in Pretoria who were actually aware of the fact that their VAT number was being used for scams. It was heart-wrenching, actually, because it was a lot of money that had been paid upfront out of our accounts, and didn't really know what to do next.
Shame, man.
You can imagine the bewildering and that sickening, this can't have happened feeling. So she also called the Drakenstein municipality and got hold of the real Mandisa Sebeko, who knew nothing of the actual tender, but she did. She was aware, actually, that her name was being used to commit tender fraud. So obviously other people had phoned her to say, you know, to check out who she was and what had happened to the tender. But as I say, nothing. If you Google her, you don't come up with any fraud warnings.
Which was what
Sarah was, you know, miffed about.
So what could Sarah do, if anything?
Well, you know, you feel you have to do something. So she did contact her bank's fraud department. They opened a case, and the bank, police. She went to the police and she opened a case there. But she is resigned to the fact that she's not getting any of that money back. But she thankfully wanted to warn other businesses. I mean, this is very fresh. This only went down in the last week.
Yeah.
She wanted to warn other businesses that of what's happening out there, what to look out for. And of course, she'll certainly be a lot more skeptical on receiving tender invitations from, whether it's from government or private. I mean, and these businesses do get tenders. That's the thing.
Yeah.
So you've got to be able to tell the real from the fake. But anyway, here's Sarah again.
I would check VAT numbers. I would check company registration number. And I'd also check online if there were any fraudulent dealings involving the company. In this case, unfortunately, we couldn't find any fraudulent dealings, as none of the persons had come forward to report that these people were using their VAT numbers or their actual names in these tender scams. So any businesses like mine out there that do tenders for government or any other tenders, I would just caution them to check all these details out before actually going through the process of submitting the document and purchasing the goods up front, when only to find that basically it was all a scam and fraudulent at the end of the day. And as in this case, it turned out that the people that submitted the tender and the supplier were all in cahoots.
Well, actually, they were all just the same fictitious lot. Something that Wendy didn't mention, and I think it's important, I picked it up straight away because I investigate a lot of these cases.
Yeah.
The genuine Drakenstein municipality emails come from the address at drakenstein.gov.za. The fraudster used something deceptively similar in his correspondence with the company, which was at drakenstein.gov.co.za, which is a private company. But you should. You have to, because a government organization is always going to be .gov, but they put the gov before the, and then added .co.za. Always check these email addresses for slight discrepancies. It'll spare you falling victim as well to the intercepted invoice email scan that we've spoken about on the show, which is very rife at the moment. Whenever you receive an invoice via email, an invoice to make payment, check all the details thoroughly, and not by calling the number that's on the invoice, obviously, to Google the organization and make a call and find out. We honestly cannot afford to take anything at face value when you're paying money into an account. And remember, I just want to take this opportunity to remind people, the biggest banking scam on at the moment is the credit card scam. So you get a call from That sounds like it's from your bank. It sounds like a call center. They say we've identified fraud on your account. These payments are about to go through. To stop it, we just need to read the numbers that are coming up on your phone, and of course those are your PIN codes,
yeah.
and then they go shopping on your account. So if ever you get a call, it might in the odd case be actually from your bank, but in the call, source your bank's number yourself, phone them and say, ask for the fraud department, say, are there any alerts on my account? The chances are very high that they will say no. So please, I just want to take this opportunity to warn people, especially older folk, are getting caught by this every day.
Okay.
It's not your bank calling from the fraud department.
Great. End
the call and make sure they're genuine.
Yeah, ask for
a
case number and phone the bank back.
Yes, phone your bank directly, make that call, and you source the number yourself. Yeah.
Perfect. Oh, it's just so sad when we hear of cases like this. But now we know once bitten, twice shy.
We're all a bit wiser, yes.
Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you, Darren.
If you want to get a hold of Wendy, if you have a case that you'd like to get her on, or if you have any consumer questions whatsoever, you can get a hold of her on her Facebook is best. It's at Wendy Nola Consumer. Well, that's it from us, guys.
You'd love to take us home with you. Wouldn't you? Listen live anywhere in South Africa on DSTV, channel 836.